Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhaktivedanta ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki,
Dai Goprimo donde.
Okay, so what do we discuss last week? Are you doing that? Good. So we've discussed the pastime of Gajendra Moksha, and now we're entering into which pastime?
Churning of the ocean.
Yeah, churning of the ocean of milk. So many things will come from this pastime. Mohini Murti will appear, many things will happen. So we'll have our exam at the end of chapter 8. We're now in chapter 5. We'll finish chapter 5 this week. So, what is it now? Probably near the end of April. Then we'll have the first examination. Also for the key memory verses, for the next section, we're out of key memory verses for chapter canto 8. There was only one for this section. So if you have any ideas... key memory verses that we could use, because Brahma Samhita, we've pretty much finished Brahma Samhita as well. So if you have any ideas of key memory verses, let me know, and then we can, because we have to find some for the next section. Okay, so tonight we'll continue chapter 5 verses 25 to 36. So Lord Brahma, the demigods, they have approached the Shweta Dweep, and they're offering prayers. So there's many eloquent prayers which will be offered at this point in time. the demons have taken over the realm of the demigods, because the demigods have, or Indra in particular, has offended Devasa. So the demigods have lost their power once again. And because of losing their power... Close the door. Oh, Mataji's there. Okay. So then, losing their power once again, then the demons have become powerful and they've overtaken heaven. So then the demigods have gone to Brahma, and Brahma's gone to the ocean of milk, and he's offering prayers to the Lord. And tonight we'll do verses 25 to 36, and then tomorrow night we'll finish chapter 5. Okay. So there's many prayers which are being offered here. There, at Shweta Dweep, Lord Brahma offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he had never seen the Supreme Lord. Simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Vedic literature, with a fixed mind, he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by Vedic literature. Jamuni, you want to read the first?
It is said that when Brahma and other demigods go to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Shweta Dweepa, they cannot directly see him, but their prayers are heard by the Lord and the needful action is taken. This we have seen in many instances. The word Shruta Purvaya is significant. We get experience by directly seeing or by hearing. If it is not possible to see someone directly, we can hear about him from authentic sources. Sometimes people ask whether we can show them God. This is ludicrous. It's not necessary for one to see God before we can accept God. Our sensory perception is always incomplete. Therefore, even if we see God, we may not be able to understand him. When Krishna was on earth, many people saw him, but could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Avajananti maam mooda manushin tanu ashritam. Even though the rascals and fools saw Krishna personally, they could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even upon seeing God personally, one who is unfortunate cannot understand him. Therefore, we have to hear about God, Krishna, from the authentic Vedic literature and from persons who understand the Vedic version properly. Even though Brahma had not seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead before, he was confident that the Lord was there in Svetadipa. Thus, he took the opportunity to go there and offer prayers to the Lord.
Thank you. So what are the points in the first paragraph?
Chapter 1. Authority of hearing from the sources which
authentic sources. Okay.
We have proof of this, what has been taken in the Bhagavad Gita, that Rukmini has never seen Krishna, but she has thought about him. Similarly, the Ramana's wife, in the sacrificial Yajna Patni, they had also been heard about Krishna, but they had all given their hearts to Krishna. So it seems that it's not necessary to have seen Krishna to build up a relationship with him. And we also know, on the other hand, that just by seeing Krishna, like Duryodhan and everyone saw Krishna, but there was no view.
Where does he say that? Prabhupada says that. Yeah, Prabhupada says, don't look for Krishna in the bushes, Vrindavan, but look for him in the instruction of the spiritual master. He says that. Any other points? And the like Duryodhana and the others, they had heard about Krishna, but even after hearing, they rejected him. Yeah. I mean, they knew who, they had heard who he was, but they still would not accept.
Godfather, I was reading one of his lectures.
Who was that?
Chaitanya.com.
Yeah.
He was mentioning that sometimes these eyes can be limiting in many situations in this world. He was talking about a carpenter who was, you know, was blind since birth, and he was, but he was so adept at everything that he needed his eyes. He could operate on everything and do his carpentry work. But one day it happened that this person, because of some medical, because of some fortune, he got his eyes back. And when he got his eyes back, then they kept the same tools in front of him and he did not know what to do with that. And then he had to close his eyes and then. So that talks about the imperfection of his eyes. So seeing through the eyes is also a mindset.
Anything else?
So the conclusion is, I think the conclusion is that we must believe in the Shastra and the words of the great Acharyas and Guru Maharaj. Yeah, we should not try to see ourselves, whether it is right or wrong. We should just blindly believe what they are saying, or what they are writing.
Yeah, not blindly, but...
I mean blindly means without any doubt. Hmm.
That's good. So, Prabhupada is pointing out that to see Krishna requires qualification. Qualification in Sanskrit means atika. Huh? That to see Krishna, you need to have atika. Not anyone can see Krishna. So what is the adhika? It means that we have heard from appropriate sources. As we said, Duryodhana, he saw Krishna. And Prabhupada said many saw Krishna, but they did not understand who he was. So you have to hear from appropriate sources, then you'll understand Krishna. Just like in the present time, Krishna is present in the form of the Archamurti, or the deity. So many people see the deity, but they can't understand who he is. They just see the deity as a material form. And that is because they lack the qualification to see the deity as he actually is. So it requires some qualification to see Krishna. You can't just see him automatically. You need qualification. Qualification means you need to hear from appropriate sources with faith. And when you have faith, then by hearing from the qualified sources, then you can see Krishna. So the more we hear about Krishna from qualified sources, the more we are able to see him, and the more the deity comes to life. I know in my own devotional life that when I hear about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes and details about Krishna, then when I worship the deity or see the deity, there's so much more reciprocation. So actually that is why we must study the Bhagavatam, because we're hearing the pastimes, we're hearing about Krishna's nama, rupa, guna, lila, and then when you see the form and you worship the form, everything comes to life. Just like in the songs of Narottama Das Thakur. So Narottama Das Thakur sings Radha Krishna Pranamo Jugala Kishore, and he describes that I am offering tambula to the mouth of Radha and Krishna, to the divine, and I am offering chamara whisk. So then when you go onto the altar and you offer chamara, then you can meditate in the mood of Narottama Das Thakur, and the whole pastime becomes deeper. So it requires hearing from qualified sources. Now, in order to see Krishna, we need qualification. And even to hear about Krishna, we need adhikar. To hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, you need qualification. Now, Prabhupada explains this in this section, that people who are too much in the mode of passion and ignorance, even though they hear about Krishna, they can't understand what we're talking about. Now, if you're too much in the mode of ignorance, or too much in the mode of passion, and you're too materialistic, then you can't, when you hear about Krishna, you cannot understand properly. Even in devotional service, we see, when we're too passionate or too ignorant, when we hear about Krishna, we don't get full realization of Krishna. Because we're too contaminated by the modes of material nature. Therefore, the Bhagavatam explains, to understand Krishna, you have to practice devotional service gradually, more and more from the platform of sattva gun. And when you're living in the mode of goodness, right, and then you're hearing about Krishna in the mode of goodness, then gradually that will lead you to pure goodness, shuddha sattva. Then you'll understand Krishna more thoroughly. So we have to lift our consciousness up to understand Krishna. And Prabhupada says this in the introduction, the very beginning of the Nectar of Instruction, the Upadeshamrita. Prabhupada says, the book is meant to bring you from ignorance to passion to the mode of goodness. Then from that platform, you can really begin to practice bhakti. Vacho vega, manasa krodha vega, all the self-control, sense control. Very hard to control your senses when you're in the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion. Look at modern society. They can't control their senses. Why? Because they're too much in ignorance and passion. When you're in the mode of goodness, you can get some sense control. And that's what that verse says. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, etan vegam, yo vishaheta dira. Dira means soba, like mode of goodness, like that. Savam abhimam prativim sashishat. Then you can become like Goswami, or someone who has control of the senses. Now you need control of this. If you want to make advancement in spiritual life, Prabhupada says this in Nectar of Instruction, if you want to make advancement, you have to become Goswami. Doesn't mean you'll become sannyasi necessarily, but you have to become all of us have to be Goswami. It means control of the senses. If you don't have sense control, you cannot advance. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says in the beginning, control the mind, the anger, the speech, the tongue, the belly, the genitals. Control. When you have control, then you can progress. Then you can advance. Otherwise, difficult to advance in spiritual life. Actually advance. Like that. Otherwise, it becomes very superficial advancement in spiritual life. Any points so far? Any points? So read the second paragraph also. So Amma Gursund.
These prayers are not ordinary from pocket prayers. Prayers must be approved by Vedic literature, as indicated in this verse by the words Devadhir. In a Krishna conscious movement, we do not allow any song that has not been approved or sung by bona fide devotee. We do not allow cinema songs to be sung in temple. We generally sing two songs. One is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityanand Surya Deva Radha, Sri Vasani Gaur Bhaktivedanta. This is bona fide. It is always mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is accepted by the Acharyas. The other, of course, is Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We may also sing the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Narottam Das Thakur, but these two songs, Shri Krishna Chaitanya and Hare Krishna Mahamantra, are significant, are sufficient to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although we cannot see Him, seeing the Lord is not as important as appreciating Him from the authentic literature or the authentic statements of authorized persons.
Okay, any points in this second paragraph?
You should not allow cinema songs in the temple.
Any examples of that?
I think Acharya Mataji was saying that if she was in Vrindavan and there was a girl and she came and she was singing Radhe and they couldn't understand her, and after that they told her not to sing.
In this connection, I remember the past time I had heard in the South India Yatra that once I think Ramanujacharya was having some Krishna Katha with some devotees, and that time the whole procession came of Lord Ramanath from that place. And actually, Ramanujacharya commented that why this, because everybody got so, they were watching the procession and all that, and Ramanujacharya commented that why this procession had to come and disturb actually our Katha that was going on. So, and then when the Lord went back and he actually revealed to the Pujari that whenever Ramanujacharya is in Katha, like that, don't let the procession come in, because I also like to hear what he means. So let the Krishna Katha go and understand. I think Ramanujacharya was establishing the point that there is no important thing in the Lord.
Any other point? So, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing that we must learn authorized prayers in devotional service. So you see that Srila Prabhupada gave us the songbooks of the Vaishnava Acharyas, and he chose many important and relevant songs for us to learn from the Vaishnava Acharyas. And there are many, many. Narottam Das Thakur's prayers, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers, and various prayers, Govinda Das and Krishna Skaviraj and different personalities. So we should learn these prayers and we should offer these prayers to the Lord. This is superior to offering prayers composed by ourselves. You can offer prayers composed by yourself from your heart, but to learn the prayers which have been offered and given by the previous Acharyas and try to understand their mood while they are singing the prayers or offering the prayers, that is more powerful. So it is something we should all meditate upon. We should learn the prayers, we should meditate upon the prayers, right? Everything we've been given by the previous Acharyas, we should learn these things, we should meditate upon them, we should try to imbibe them. And that is how we advance in bhakti. Because it's like getting onto an aeroplane, right? And then you get on the aeroplane takes off. You have to get on the aeroplane, but once you're on, then that's it. So we have to learn the songs of the previous acharyas or their prayers, but then once we get those prayers and we imbibe them, then they will carry us or direct us or take us. So then Prabhupada emphasizes in the purport, two mantras are important. Two maha mantras. Panchatattva maha mantra and
Hare Krishna
maha mantra. These two are important. And you see Prabhupada, practically his whole mission was these two mantras. He didn't chant a lot of other things. He did chant other things, but primarily he was chanting these two. And after we did the disciples course, I think it has been sufficiently emphasized to us that Prabhupada had a very particular mood. We did this disciples course on the weekend after Krishna Prabhu has come and taught a number of us, and now we have to teach it to everyone else. So Prabhupada's mood was very definite, very powerful. I'm feeling very much affected now the course has passed. I was thinking I learned something in the course, but now the course is starting to pass, I'm realizing how much it's actually affected me and established Prabhupada in my consciousness. And that is the whole point of this course, the course that Atul Prabhu taught and that will be taught all through ISKCON now, to emphasize Prabhupada's position as preeminent within our society. And basically he gave us two mantras. Right? And they're both Siddha mantras, which means if you chant them perfectly, you will attain Krishna. Right? The entire spiritual world is in those two mantras. Right? Mayapur Dham and Goloka Dham. They're both within those two mantras. Prabhupada says when you chant Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. So the two portions of the spiritual world, Mayapur, Gauranga Leela and Krishna Leela, are within those two mantras. Everything is in those two mantras, factually speaking. So Prabhupada is saying here we don't need anything else. But he gave us the songs of the previous acharyas. We should also learn them, imbibe them. And Prabhupada would sing them. There are many bhajan tapes, CDs, where Prabhupada is chanting all these different songs of the Vaishnava chant. And if anything, they're being neglected a little bit at this point in time. I remember when I joined, we used to sing the bhajans more often. I don't hear it very much anymore. And a lot of the devotees now don't know the bhajans so much. They've joined more recently. But we used to chant them a lot more regularly. There's many beautiful bhajans, so we should learn those those bhajans. Awesome. Any points?
Even about Maha Mantra, I heard Srila Prabhu saying that we should never hear even Maha Mantra from the non-devotees because as the milk is drank by the snake, gets poisonous. So if you hear even Maha Mantra from the
don't associate with my bodies.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you been associating with them?
Just
a quick question. Although the Seva song is not allowed in the temples, so, but sometimes we have seen the Hare Krishna tune is going on the Seva song. Although you have left us in hearing cinema songs, but when that tune is going on, your mind is not in the right place. Personally speaking, to my mind is not in Hare Krishna. Immediately it recalls that particular song of this song and then...
In the temple?
Sometimes that...
Like in the main temple, the ISKCON temple, or in your home?
Yeah, but ISKCON temple.
What is the example of the cinema song Maha Mantra?
Even in Vrindavan,
tell, because I don't know.
Yeah, so there are many, though. It's not one.
Like, which one?
The one is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
That's from Bollywood. Is it? It's a beautiful tune, though.
I think.
I mean, it's all right for me because I don't know, but I suppose for you it would lead you to Bollywood. So, what's the?
Yeah, my question is how to come out of this vicious circle.
Well, maybe for you, maybe don't play those CDs or that have those, because maybe for you it will lead you to those things. for me, if I heard it, I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't know which ones were that or which ones were that, so I wouldn't know. But if you, because the Maha Mantra is pure, but if you find that every time you hear that, then it's leading you to like material thoughts, you know, when you're a teenager and you used to go to work. if that's the effect, then maybe it's better to avoid listening to those particular tracks. I mean, they don't play them in this temple, as far as I know. I've never gone in there and heard. And that's another thing that came out of this disciples course, was the emphasis of playing Prabhupada. Because these days we're playing everything, but we need to go back to Prabhupada more. So in the temple, I think we only play Prabhupada, pretty much. Maybe only Prabhupada, pretty much. It's definitely majority Prabhupada. But now they're saying it's being emphasized. It's not compulsory, like we have to do it, but it's being emphasized in the paraphernalia room, in the kitchen, in our car, in our home, you know, so many places. And play Prabhupada more like that. No, there's no law saying you have to only play Prabhupada, but you know, more Prabhupada like that. And it has effect actually, because there's nothing comparable to Prabhupada like that. When you listen to Prabhupada, it's different to everything else. Any other point? Yeah, I stayed in the Bhaktivedanta Hospital for 3 weeks, did some Panchakarma in 2000, and I stayed there for 3 weeks, and they have, like, you know, the radio in the hospital, or if you're in the bed, you can pick up the headphones. You know, when you're in hospital, you can put on the headphones. So you've got two choices, Prabhupada lecture or Prabhupada kirtan. That's it. That's it. So for 3 weeks, that's all I listened to, Prabhupada lecture or Prabhupada kirtan. Like that. And it's very purifying. Like that. Anything else?
Back in Bombay Town's temple, the singers in India, they used to go and give some performance, and then they used to make the cassettes. And they used to say, like, Hari Om Sharan or something. You should listen to that.
It's okay. It's Maha Mantra, so.
Yeah.
It's up to you. I mean, it's like Amal Gurusan said, like, if he's listening to it, but it's leading him to another thing, even though it's a Maha Mantra, then maybe listen to something different. So, like, if you're listening to these Bollywood stars singing, but then it takes your mind, you know, away from Krishna, the whole injunction is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. No, it's not always remember Bollywood, never forget Bollywood. So that's the effect, then you have to judge. Like I said, for me, I don't know, so that doesn't bother me. But for you, you have to consider these things. Anything else? Lord Brahma said, now Lord Brahma is offering prayers to Lord Vishnu, Shiradakshai Vishnu, at Shwetadweep, this planet, spiritual planet in this universe. So these prayers are very powerful. There's Lord Brahma himself petitioning the Lord himself. Many prayers. O Lord, O Supreme Lord, O changeless, unlimited, supreme truth, you are the origin of everything. Being all-pervading, you are in everyone's heart and also in the atom. You have no material qualities. Indeed, you are inconceivable. The mind cannot catch you by speculation, and words fail to describe you. You are the supreme master of everyone, and therefore you are worshipable for everyone. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So Prabhupada emphasizes in the purport that Krishna is Vipu. Vipu means? Yeah, unlimited. Yeah, unlimited. And we are? Anu. Anu means? How small?
Atomic.
1/10,000, the size, the tip of a?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is how big? So in other words, we are not very significant. So then the question is, why are we so puffed up? Why do we think we're so big if we're so small? That's called?
False ego.
False ego. Ahankar. Because all of us think we're a lot bigger than what we are. But His Holiness Prahladananda Swami says, you are only the size of the tip of the hair. 10,000. 1/10,000. And He says you cannot even become 2/10,000. So don't become puffed up. But all of us are puffed up. That's our problem. I am so big. Like that. But actually speaking, we are Anu. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead directly and indirectly knows how everything, including the living force, mind, and intelligence, is working under His control. He is the illuminator of everything and has no ignorance. He does not have a material body subject to the reactions of previous activities, and He is free from the ignorance of partiality and materialistic education. I therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who is eternal, all-pervading, and as great as the sky, and who appears with six opulences in three yugas, Satya, Treta, and Dwapara. So, Uddhava Bandhu Prabhu, can you read paragraph number 3?
The Supreme Lord is described as Triyuga, because although He appeared previously in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga, when He appeared in Kali Yuga, He never declared Himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Varna, Usparna, Sanko Pangastra, Parshadam. The Lord appears in Kali Yuga as a devotee. Thus, although He is Krishna, He chants the Hare Krishna mantra like a devotee. Still, Srimad Bhagavan recommends Tatna Sangeetana Praya Dayantiki Sumedasha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose complexion is not black like that of Krishna, but is golden, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is accompanied by associates like Nityananda, Tatvaida, Sadadara, and Srivas. Those who are sufficiently intelligent worship this Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing Sangeetana Yantra. In this incarnation, the Supreme Lord declares Himself not to be a Supreme Lord, and therefore He is known as Triyuga.
So what are the points? Lord Chaitanya is the Chona avatar, which means the hidden or covered incarnation. Because the Lord is known as Triyuga. He only comes three times. But He comes four times. He comes in the fourth age as well. But that person is not spoken about directly. He is always spoken about indirectly. That's why when Lord Chaitanya came, he was not totally, completely recognized as being the Supreme Lord. Because His incarnation was hidden. And He Himself hid that He was the Supreme Lord. He did not like to be called the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it was a different. Is this going to be like a Mridanga practice or something? Yeah. Is that what it is?
They
can't do it in the next room. It's not going to work. It's going to have to be changed. But this is not going to work. Having a Mridanga class. We've been doing this for 10 years. So they can't start a Mridanga class next door. They have to do it a different time, or they're going to have to do it somewhere else.
They start from 6:30, actually, they can start Kambodana.
6:30?
6:30.
Yeah, what time?
6:30 to 9. Kartal, Harmonium, then Kambodana.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, then they can change from 6:30 to 7:30. Before you start,
yeah.
They can start.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, we never get going to a quarter. We never get going to a quarter to 8 anyway.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they can't do that. It's not going to work. Like that, so. Okay.
What about Kalki and the one comes at the end of so he's not Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Yeah, he's Supreme. But he's not Swayam Bhagavan.
Okay.
He's a like a partial incarnation. He's not like Lord Chaitanya.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he comes, but that's at the very end of the of the yuga.
But he is not considered as ego.
system.
So we are calling the Lord as Sri Yuga, because Chaitanya on the books and all that. So.
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar. He is the Yuga avatar, the Kali Yuga avatar. Kali Yuga Pavana, not that. So. But he's not mentioned directly.
That is only for Krishna, no? When Krishna appears, then Chaitanya also appears. Otherwise,
what?
The Chaitanya doesn't come in every Kali Yuga, no?
Swayam Bhagavan does not come. There's a Vishnu incarnation. Yeah, but it doesn't lead to Goloka, that's the difference. Only once in a day Brahma goes to Goloka, the other times it's a Vishnu form, and it leads to Narayan Bhakti, or like that. No, it's not called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He must have a different name, but. But he's the Yuga avatar, and he spreads the Nam Sankirtan, but he's not the same person. Just like the other 999 times, it's not Krishna who comes. It's a Narayan form. But it's not Goloka. It's not the original Swayam Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan is Krishna, and that same Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya. Like that. So it's a different person.
So when Krishna doesn't come, he's called as a blackish complexion Vishnu form comes. But then there won't be all these Krishna pastimes or something. But also we know that Parikrama is Arjuna, when Krishna came to defeat King Kamsa and all that. So that time there is nothing that he comes to kill. Kamsa might not even be there, no? Because Krishna is there, not there.
Yes, there's some other personality, some demon. Any other points?
Satyuga avatar is only Lord Krishna.
I don't understand the question.
It says all Lila.
No, Yuga avatar means the avatar for the Yuga.
Yeah.
That's in the 11th or 12th canto.
See, in Satyuga. Satyuga,
yeah. That is not the Yuga avatar. It's mentioned, if you look up Yuga avatars in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, or in the end of the Bhagavatam, it teaches you who they are. In Satyuga is white, Tretyuga is red, blackish in the Dwapara, and then golden in the Kali. So it's all mentioned. But the point Prabhupada's making here is in the Vedas, it says he is Triyuga. It says that. That's the name of Vishnu. Triyuga. Which means he only appears in three yugas. So the Kali Yuga avatar is hidden. He is very special. His name is? Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he's not openly discussed all the time. He's like a secret personality. Very confidential.
Who's red, I know, yellow and black?
Look it up. You look in, it's in teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's also, if you look, it's in the 11th or 12th canto, I can't remember where it's, but it's mentioned, it discusses, gives details and everything. Okay. In the cycle of material activities, the material body resembles the wheel of a mental chariot. The 10 senses, 5 for working and 5 for gathering knowledge, and the 5 life airs within the body form the 15 spokes of the chariot's wheel. The 3 modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are its center and activities. And the 8 ingredients of nature, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and false ego, comprise the rim of the wheel. The external material energy moves this wheel like electrical energy. Thus the wheel revolves very quickly around its hub or central support. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Super Soul and the Ultimate Truth, we offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva, and therefore He is Eka Varna, the Omkar Pranav. Because the Lord is beyond the cosmic manifestation, which is considered to be darkness, He is not visible to material eyes. Nonetheless, he is not separated from us by time or space, but is present everywhere, seated on his carrier, Garuda. He is worshipped by means of mystical yoga power by those who have achieved freedom from agitation. Let us all offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Leela Mai, would you like to read them?
Sarvam Visuddham Vasudeva Saptidam. In this material world, the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, prevail. Among these three, goodness is the platform of knowledge and passion brings about a mixture of knowledge and ignorance, but the mode of ignorance is full of darkness. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond darkness and passion. He is on the platform like goodness or knowledge is not disturbed by passion and ignorance. This is called the Vasudeva platform. Vasudeva platform. It is on this platform of Vasudeva that Vasudeva or Krishna can appear. Thus, Krishna appeared on this planet as the son of Vasudeva. Because the Lord is situated beyond the three modes of material nature, he is unseen by those who are dominated by these three modes. One must therefore become Deva or undisturbed by the modes of material nature. The process of yoga may be practiced by one who is free from agitation of these modes. Therefore, yoga is defined in this way. Yoga Indriya Samyama. Samyama. As previously explained, we are disturbed by the Indriyas or senses. Moreover, we are agitated by the three modes of material nature, which are imposed upon us by the external energy. In conditional life, the living entity moves turbulently in the whirlpool of birth and death. But when one is situated on the transcendental platform of Visuddha Sattva, pure goodness, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead who sits on the back of Garuda. Lord Brahma offers his respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Lord.
Any points? So Prabhupada is teaching, and the Bhagavatam is teaching, and our philosophy is teaching continuously the importance of first coming to the mode of goodness to attain Shuddha Sattva. So we have to lead a regulated life. A mode of goodness means regulation. You can't advance in spiritual life without regularity. A mode of goodness begins by rising early in the morning. And this is something devotees in Kali Yuga struggle with. Devotees go to bed late. So you have to rectify this situation if you want to make real advancement. Now, chanting your rounds at 12 o'clock at night is not so good. Or finishing your rounds at 10 o'clock is not so good. Then better to rise early. Go to bed early, get up early, like that. But because of the way Kali Yuga is, we constantly fall into this trap of going to bed late. And then it's hard to practice mode of goodness. It's hard to practice sadhana. It's hard to make regulated spiritual advancement. So therefore one has to rise early in the morning. That's the system. I know for myself, always as the year goes, you go through the year, January to around about October, it always becomes like a struggle, you know, because so many other obligations are there and we go to bed late, then we start getting up later and then we kind of fall into a trap. So once a year, then Kartik comes, right, and then I just stop everything. I say, okay, whatever material obligations are there, I just put them on the back burner. They become secondary, and then I just get right back into my sadhana again. And then I try to go to India, to the Holy Dham. I get up 3:30 every morning, go to Mangalati, right? Follow the whole program, go to bed 8:30 every night, go to bed early, get up early, and just get back into a good program. Right? And this is when I'm happiest, and this is when I make the most advancement. My rounds are the best. And when I get up early, just chant nicely, go to Mangalati, chant nicely, and then follow the program. So this is the system. So if you want to make advancement in spiritual life, you have to be in the mode of goodness. You can make advancement with passion and ignorance, but it's much more difficult. We all know it's much harder to chant your rounds late at night and much easier to chant in the morning. And you know. So we have to organize our lives so it falls into that regulation, falls into the mode of goodness, and then it's much easier to make progress. So see what time you go to bed tonight. Okay. Any points?
Something was
Yeah, Vasudev means Shuddha Sattva. Yeah, Vasudev means Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. Krishna's father is Vasudev. So where did Krishna come from? From the heart of Vasudev into the womb of Devaki, actually into the heart of Devaki. And the Acharya is explained from Vasudev to Shuddha Sattva, because Krishna only appears in Shuddha Sattva. So he was transformed from the pure heart into the pure heart, and that's how he manifests. So when will he sit in our heart? When it's pure, when it's Shuddha Sattva. And how do you get to Shuddha Sattva? For practicing bhakti in Sattva Gun, right? Which is what we're trying to do now. No? When you make your heart, when you live more in the mode of goodness, your heart becomes more pure, right? And when you become more pure, then gradually Shuddha Sattva enters, and then gradually Krishna will enter. But Krishna will not sit there if it's mode of ignorance, mode of passion. Mode of ignorance means anger. Mode of passion means lust, greed. Like Krishna won't sit there. You know, just like when you sit on the chair, you know, if you see it's dirty, then you won't sit like that. But then when you see it's clean, then you'll sit down. So Krishna's the same. He comes, you say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna comes, and then he says, no, it's not clean yet. So then, so when we are pure, then he will sit and stay. Any points?
Did he appear in the heart of Vasudeva or mind of Vasudeva?
Same thing. Any other point?
This verse is actually written by Lord Shiva.
This verse?
Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Sattvam.
Oh, the one in the...
It is when, after the Daksha Pasana, he is telling Sati that I am also engaged in worshipping Lord Krishna. This is one Praman where Lord Shiva is also worshipping Lord Krishna. And he says that only when it is in this platform, then the Lord is known without any hindrance or something like that. This is different English word. You can see the Lord clearly in this consciousness. So Lord Shiva is telling Sati. On the principles of regulation, when I was hearing in one class, the example of kite is given. So, on what? So, the four regulative principles following any regulation, people consider usually as binding and as a hindrance to their freedom. But the example of kite says that if the kite is allowed to fly without a rope which is controlled, then can it fly forever? For some time, you know, even to launch the kite, you need that control and to keep the flight in. Right in proper flight, but it still needs that control from the base. So the four regulative principles are actually not binding, but they are the principles of freedom. Good analogy.
Good. Okay. No one can overcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy, Maya, which is so strong that it bewilders everyone, making one lose the sense to understand the aim of life. That same Maya, however, is subdued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules everyone and who is equally disposed toward all living entities. Let us offer our obeisances unto him. So Prabhupada says in the purport that everyone in this material world is controlled. What are we controlled by? What's that? What is my tuni bhav? My tuni bhav. Pumsa striya, my tuni bhav etam. Hridaya kurantim ahu. Which means in the heart, hridaya grantim. Means like tight knot in the heart. It comes from pumsa, striya, when man and woman associate. When you associate with the opposite sex for sense gratification, that is called maituni bhav. There is an energy which is there, and that energy that disturbs our consciousness. And that's what keeps us bound in the material world. So we are controlled. We're in Maya and we don't even mind being in Maya. We're in Maya and we actually enjoy it. Prabhupada said, just like if the cage has golden bars, you say, okay, I'll stay here then. If you're in a cage and the cage has some gold in it, you think, okay, I'll stay in prison. I'm okay here. So that's what we're like in the material world. We're like, well, it's okay, we'll stay here. But actually we're in prison. We're in Devi Dham or Durga Dham. So, Krishna says, Devi Yesha Gunamai Mama Maya Dharachaya Mamebi Ye Prapajyanti Mayami Tam Tarantiti. When you surrender to him, then you can come out. So this is the process. The process is surrendering to Krishna. And when you surrender to Krishna, then what takes place? Maya will let go. It's only Krishna who can order Maya to let go. When he sees that we are really determined, then he tells her, okay, stop giving him so much of a hard time. So I'm praying for that day when Maya will stop giving me such a hard time. When will that come? Long time from now. I have a lot of beatings to endure yet. Why? Because we're still attached to Maya. Not easy to give up Maya. Even though we give class about it all the time. Every time we give class, you have to give up Maya. You have to give up your material attachments. Well, we're still so attached. We just talk all the time. We sound very philosophical, but actually we're totally in Maya. We're totally in illusion. Very hard to get out of that illusion. But if you try really hard and get really serious, then Krishna helps you. If you get serious, then Krishna helps you. When do we get serious? When do we get serious about devotional life? When the material world is smashing us. Then we get serious. Right? That's when we get sincere. When the material energy is really hammering us, then we say, yes, okay, Krishna, I surrender to you. Right? But then when it eases off again, we say, okay. But Krishna will help us. Krishna will take us back to Godhead.
But actually, she is the devotee of Lord Maya. So why can't we just say to her, please let me advance spiritually and please don't disturb me?
Yeah, we do pray to her, but we pray to her in her original form, which is
Yoga Maya.
Yoga Maya. And in Vrindavan she is called
Dada.
In Vrindavan she is called No, it's not called Radharani. What's she called in Vrindavan? Who is Yoga Maya in Vrindavan? Purnamasi. Who is Purnamasi? She's the old. She's Madhu Mangala's grandmother, Sandipani Muni's mother. You know Sandipani Muni? Sandipani Muni is Krishna's guru when he goes out of Vrindavan to Ujjain. That's where Krishna studied Gurukul. So, Madhu Mangala's grandmother, Madhu Mangala is Krishna's friend, close friend, and Sandipani Muni is his father, and then his mother is Purnamasi. And then she comes into Vrindavan. She's Yoga Maya. She's white. White hair. She's older. White hair, white sari, everything. And everyone in Vrindavan listens to her. She's very powerful, very potent. So, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we pray to Purnamasi. Yoga Maya. Right? To bring us closer to Krishna. Right? And then she can help us to enter into the holy Dham. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays to her and other acharyas. Before I chant my japa every morning, I pray to her. I pray to different personalities. Lord Shiva, Brinda Devi, Purnamasi, different personalities. Govardhan Hill, Jamuna River, Ganga. Like that song. So we pray to her, because the acharyas pray to these personalities, to help us enter into Vrindavan. Because you can't get into Vrindavan without their mercies.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
We need somebody's mercy.
Yeah, we need everyone's mercy. I need your mercy.
Neither mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
When will you give me your mercy?
I'm nothing, sir.
You're nothing. Specific prayers.
But I
pray
to Lord Krishna.
Yeah, specific prayers. If you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, and yeah, many prayers. So these days you can find anything. You just go on Google and you type in something, you'll get all the prayers. And then just check with the advanced devotees, make sure the prayers are correct. Not that you're chanting something from another sampradaya or something.
I pray to upon the mercy and Lord Krishna take me to all the mercy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I feel better already. Because if the devotees feel in their heart good about us,
mm-hmm.
right, then we advance.
Okay.
And when they don't feel good, you feel quite different. You'll notice it. I remember one sannyasi walked past me, right? And he wasn't happy with me, and I was chanting. I was in ecstasy, actually. I was chanting, but then suddenly everyone just went, just disappeared. And I couldn't get back into the holy name for a couple of weeks or something. Like that. Just walked past me. Didn't say anything, nothing. But I knew he wasn't happy with me, and then... So just the feeling in the heart. Right? If the devotee feels good about us, we advance. If the devotee doesn't, right, start praying. Okay. Which one are we on?
31.
Since our bodies are made of sattva-gun, we, the demigods, are internally and externally situated in goodness. All the great saints are also situated in that way. Therefore, if even we cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who are most insignificant in their bodily constitutions, being situated in the modes of passion and ignorance? How can they understand the Lord? Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. So Prabhupada says in the purport, how do the people in the mode of ignorance and passion, how do they experience Krishna?
Death.
Yeah. Through the form of death. Because Bhagavatam says in the second canto, if you don't bow your head voluntarily before the deity, you'll be forced to bow down at the time of death. Right? At the time of death, everyone offers his dandavats. You just go, that's it. So either you do it voluntarily, you bow, or you'll be forced to. So for the atheist, for someone who does not surrender or does not believe in Krishna, then Krishna appears as death. That is Krishna. Krishna says in the Gita, I am time, I am death. All devouring. Yeah, mode of goodness.
If I see the elements,
yeah.
Earth is Rajogno, Earth is Raj.
Did you read the next line?
No.
Are you a demigod?
No.
On this earth, there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by Him. The material creation rests on His lotus feet. He is the great Supreme Person, full of opulence and power. May He be pleased with us. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that Krishna is situated in Goloka Dham. And everything emanates from Him. But Krishna is not even aware of what He is doing. He is so absorbed, right now, Krishna is in the spiritual world, he is so absorbed in his pastimes, he doesn't even know what's going on. in the material world. He just expands himself, and his expansions, by their energy, everything happens. But Krishna, he doesn't know what's going on. Nor does he care to know what's going on. Why is Krishna not interested? Yeah, because the material world's not very interesting. Hands up if you find the material world interesting. What's that? Hands up if you find it boring.
Horrible.
That was going to be the next question. Hands up if you find it boring. It bores the hell out of me. I'm only 45. I'm probably only halfway there. I'm already over it. I'm just saying, if there's something else, then please, let's get it worked out. I guess this place is just boring. Every day it's like, I don't even like Kali Yuga. You know, at least Dwapara Yuga, you can get a sword or something and go around and start like, smash, have some fun or do something. You know? Like here it's just like, what do? You sit in the computer all day like, ooh. It's the most boring place, you know. Nothing exciting.
Frustration is coming, but detachment is not
coming. Yeah, it will come. That is the horrible stage. When that comes, then you get detached. See, she's in ecstasy. Because it's horrible. So she's just already transcendent. We should be like that when we get to that age. Everything's what?
Not everything is boring.
Like?
Boring.
Yeah, well, that's different. That's different. But I'm talking about the material energy. Yeah, material energy is boring. Yeah, well, if we didn't have devotional service, we'd go crazy. Yeah, I would have jumped off the West Gate Bridge. You know, on the West Gate Bridge, they put those big things all the way. You know why they did that? No, because so many people were jumping off. It wasn't in the news. They weren't allowed to report of it. There was so many people jumping. They had to put those big things. It wasn't that one. So many people. You know, if I didn't become a devotee, I'd climb up that thing and jump. Don't worry about that. I can get over that. That's no problem. So boring.
Portion of message.
What is it Lord Brahma is referring to four kinds of living energy?
Which verse?
Translation.
On this earth, there are four kinds of living entities. So if we go into the Sanskrit, Chaturvidha. Yeah, the purport. Born of embryos, born of eggs, born of perspiration, and born of seeds. So, different creations. The entire cosmic manifestation is merged from water and... It is because of water that all living entities endure, live, and develop. This water is nothing but the semen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has such great potency, be pleased with us. So, water is essential. We live from water. Now, without water, everything finishes. And you'll see, maybe in our lifetimes, I don't know if we'll see it that dramatically, but we'll see, well, it will happen. Water will become the commodity. There'll be wars over the water in due course of time, because it will start drying up. Because the Vedas say, in 15,000 years from now, there's no Ganga. She dries up. So you imagine what the situation will be in the world. That means there's practically no water. So it will become a commodity. So Coca-Cola, you know that company? Coca-Cola? Huge company. They're buying, not buying, they've already brought practically all the water in the world. You know, up in Dalesford, there's a place called Hepburn Springs, where the water just comes out of the earth. The springs. Coca-Cola owns the whole thing because they want the water because they know that's their supply because they need water to sell their Coke. So they control all the water, because water will become a big problem. We may not see it in our life. We might, though. We might see it. It will become a problem. But it will be, as Kali Yuga progresses, water will be like a, it'll be like gold. If you have water, it'll be like precious. No. So that's why the most important place in this world is Hare Krishna Valley. Because Hare Krishna Valley, we have a spring which comes up. When you drive in, just on that right there, before you go up the hill, that's a spring. That water's coming from underground. Like that. So we have lots and lots of water there, which is a great boon, great blessing.
So if the water is the semen of the Lord, it means the father of everybody.
Yeah, or it means from semen comes life. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So from the water comes our life. Mm-hmm. What happens if we don't drink water for a couple of days or 1 week? No life. Mm-hmm. So water is our life.
Okay.
I drink a lot of water. You should drink at least 2 liters every day. Two every day. I drink about 4 like that, but you should drink like 2. In summertime, I drink sometimes like 8 liters of water. A lot of water. Because my body is very pitta. But you should drink at least 2 every day. It's very good for the health to drink water.
You won't get any kidney problems.
Yeah, it cleanses everything. Cleanses. Get up in the morning and, you know, brush teeth, clean everything, and just get one glass of warm water and just drink. Big glass and then just drink. Just flush everything. Okay. Soma, the moon, is the source of food, grain, strength and longevity for all the demigods. He is also the master of all vegetation and the source of generation for all living entities, as stated by learned scholars. The moon is the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all opulences, be pleased with us. Fire, which is born for the sake of accepting oblations in ritualistic ceremonies, is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fire exists within the depths of the ocean to produce wealth. The fire is also present in the abdomen to digest food and produce various secretions for the maintenance of the body. May that supremely powerful personality of Godhead be pleased with us. The sun god marks the path of liberation, which is called Achirada Vartma. He is the chief source for understanding of the Vedas. He is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation, and he is the source of eternal life as well as the cause of death. The sun god is the eye of the Lord. May that Supreme Lord, who is supremely opulent, be pleased with us. So, what is Lord Brahma saying? Everything comes from Krishna. So we should be thankful. Well, Krishna gives us sun, he gives us moon, he gives us fire, he gives us water. You take any of these four out, we're finished. Right? Without sun, without moon, without fire, without water, our lives are finished. That's it. We die. So Krishna is giving us everything. So a devotee is very grateful, and he offers everything back to Krishna. We offer water back to Krishna. We offer fire back to Krishna. Like that. Because he's giving us everything. So a devotee sees like that. Right? Krishna is giving me everything. He's maintaining me, so everything I have to offer back to him. Srila Prabhupada ki.